It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Hey, welcome to Science Friction, the sci-fi comedy game show where comedians earn points for their opinions and how close those opinions are to mine. I'm your host, Asterios Komodos. With me today, probably two favorite people in the world right now. We got over here, Dick Masterson, say hi.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
We got over here, we got Sriracha, say hi.
Back pitches. If I ruined this show for you, then sorry, this ain't the episode for you.
You really seem to think people don't like you for some reason.
Oh, that opinion's coming from Reddit.
But you can't go on Reddit. You can't. Why are you doing that to
yourself? I had to block it on my computer.
Today we made a bet.
You know you need an extension.
I got the Chrome one.
Negative things about you to positive things.
They make those.
They should.
No, they do, because you can find extensions that like changes Trump to like
Drump
or whatever. Yeah. You can find an extension where anytime someone talks about politics, it instead just puts in shit about cats.
Yeah.
So anytime someone says Sriracha,
anytime there's a paragraph with your name in it, it just changes it to was great.
Exactly.
Yeah, can I get the word cunt changed to something else?
No, sadly. There's no extension powerful enough in the world to not make the internet call you a cunt. We were all at the live show. You had people come up to you being like, I'm a fan.
Yeah, it was really
nice. I like
you.
Can I have your phone number? Anyway, you had fans.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, that one guy who asked for your phone number.
I was more like aggressively gave me his phone number. I think he was more interested in you.
Sriracha was doing the safety dance and looking at me and going, safety dance, safety dance. And I didn't know what
she
meant.
And you know what he did? Walked away.
What's the safety dance?
From the 80s, the safety dance song.
Yeah,
safety
yeah.
You can dance if you want to. You can involve friends.
I don't know. It felt like the right thing to do to get you to come over and help me, but I was wrong. Yes.
I didn't know what it meant. I'm old. On that spectrum. I'm somewhere on that spectrum where someone has to tell me exactly what to do or say.
Otherwise, the puzzle piece spectrum.
You know, the old 100,000 piece puzzler. Oh my God.
Anyways.
All right, well anyways, I want to know your guys' Jeopardy factoids. Dick Masterson, what's your Jeopardy factoid?
I know pi to 10,000 digits. That's not a joke.
Can we just get, I don't know, give us 20?
Sure. 3.142733302.
Uh-huh.
And then the Batman sign.
Uh-huh.
4. It's not true. I don't
God
know.
God damn it!
Nobody ever checks, though.
And it's I was nodding
for some
along
reason,
with you.
I know. I've done that joke before. Nobody ever fucking... No, everyone just listens. Like, oh, I'm amazed. You memorized all these numbers. Like, you can just say numbers. You know them all. Once you learn the 10, you can just make that joke.
But when I heard the 3 4s in a row, I'm like, yeah.
Wow, pie's so interesting.
Wow, who would have thought?
A little sci-fi joke for you.
I'm thinking to myself, like, is he dividing by pie in his head right now? Is that how he knows these numbers? God damn it, Dick, you got me again. All right, Sriracha, what's your Jeopardy factoid?
I sat next to two insane people on an airplane on the way here, so I don't know what the chances of that are, but I feel like they're pretty low.
No, they're very, very high.
How insane were they?
Because she flew Spirit Airlines. Of course they're crazy people on Spirit Airlines.
There's some words that we all know not to say on an airplane, and there was a gentleman, words that maybe start with a B and end with a B,
uh-huh.
And there was a gentleman that I guess he was
bossy.
Listening.
Boob.
Yeah, bossy boobs.
Yeah.
Burbs. Who was listening to a podcast or something and screaming back at it. On his phone. And at first I thought he was on the phone before we left off and he was screaming about terrorism and bombs, but then the plane went off and he just keeps talking. So there's a woman's, this guy is on the other aisle, and there's a woman sitting next to me, poor sweet old lady, grandma, who's like clutching her purse and keeps ordering drinks. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God. She's like, this is the first time I've ever flown. Is this normal? I'm like, oh yeah, there's one in every barrel. This happens every time I've been on a plane, of course, because why
would you? Wait till he starts watching porn, you old man.
So I reach in my purse, and I have this I just got back from Iceland. I have this Icelandic liquor. I'm like, here you go. You need this more than me. It's like 80% alcohol or something.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and so I'm like, thinking that she'll just drink it, shut the fuck up, and go to sleep. She does not shut the fuck up and go to sleep. She starts rambling on to me. She's like, I speak to higher levels of consciousness,
yeah,
and I feel like you are going to be this blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you've recently escaped from the same asylum. That's excellent.
terrible. I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry to put up with those people, but that is what you get for flying Spirit Airlines. They charge you $10 to go to the bathroom. What were you expecting?
They do. They charge you to check in at the airport.
Spend $4 more and fly American. Or you'll sit next to one crazy person, not two. Treat yourself. You've earned it.
I hope one day there's an airline that, like, a crazy supervillain starts that tests people's willingness to save, like, a dollar.
Yeah.
Like, kick your ass airlines. It's always the cheapest one by $10, but they will kick your ass every flight. Someone gets their ass kicked. I'd buy it.
I might
like,
do
well,
it, though,
how
right?
often... You know.
No, if there was an airline with no seats.
What are the chances? It's $10.
If there was an airline with no seats and it was $10 cheaper, I'd just sit on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody would. That's no. Get
molest you airlines.
Yeah.
Molest air. It would be like a Frenchman who's groping an ass on the side of their plane. Molest air. And he comes, he's the supervillain. He comes down the row and just grabs your balls while you're sleeping. Only red eyes. You gotta stay up. He's like Freddy Krueger, but he assaults you.
God damn it. I would do it. It's so funny because it's like people bend over backwards to save $10 on the flight.
Yeah.
And then they spend $100 in taxis to get there. And they buy themselves like a $14 chicken tie wrap.
Yeah.
And they're like blowing all this to save $10 to fly in Spirit.
No, and I'm telling you, if this you're making jokes, but if I was sitting there like, okay, is it two tit grabs for an international flight? I would seriously be considering it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you would. Come on. What's your dating worth? Apparently not that much.
Not
apparently
a lot.
Apparently a very cheap flight. All right. Speaking of flights, let's get this game show taken off. Our first game is called... All right, you're going to have to listen to me complain about Star Trek Discovery now. The game.
Oh, God.
Now, you guys are going to earn tickets for sitting and listening to me complain about Star Trek Discovery and not making
and not
me feel bad, not alienating me,
yeah,
and actually joining in. But not too much for, like, you're patronizing me.
Right.
Treat me like a human being, for Christ's sake.
Got it.
All right. Question number one. Why haven't you watched Star Trek Discovery yet?
Where's my buzzer? Because I'm not a virgin. Next question.
Okay. All right. That's
me?
All you need to do. You've done it. Dick Masterson, why haven't... Because you're a huge Star Trek fan.
Not,
why haven't you watched it?
It's not Star Trek. Like, Star Trek is about meetings and conference calls in space. That's what it is. It's like a space office where guys dressed in stupid suits solve problems by having board meetings where they sit around at a table and talk about the mission statement, and then they get on a conference call with a fuckball. It's like real life, man. It's very relatable. You watch Star Trek and you're like, man, I had a rough fucking conference call with some dickball too, who did look a little bit weird. Who did have weird shit on his forehead that I couldn't stop looking at. But the new one is not Star Trek. It's like running around with space lasers fighting orcs and monsters with like robot assholes.
Okay.
With you. That's not relatable at all.
Alright, well, first off, 5 tickets for you, Sriracha. Alright. Second off, I'm gonna give you 5 tickets, Dick, but the reason you might like Star Trek Discovery is that the first episode is very boring. People find an artifact. Then they talk for 20 minutes about whether or not they should go investigate it. And there's this one, like, pussy alien on the bridge who's like, I'm very scared and we should not do that. And then there's, like, a tough, sexy black lady captain who's like, I'm gonna put on a jetpack and fly up to this artifact and I'm gonna fucking make out with this artifact. I'm so unafraid of this artifact.
Is that Michael?
Yes, her name is Michael.
The chick's name?
Chick's name is Michael.
Whatever.
As a finally
real progressive future. Okay.
I don't get it.
Is
I don't
it
get
a
it.
Trans
No.
Alien?
Well, I mean, look, it might be. There's trans-dotions. But anyway, so then she flies over, she fucking rocket packs her. But again, 20 minutes to get out of space. She goes there, she finds a Klingon on it, accidentally kills the Klingon, comes back. 20 minutes of nobody believing her that there's a Klingon on the thing. And then a fucking Klingon ship decloaks and does nothing.
She doesn't say, I told you so, for the rest of the episode?
No, she definitely does.
Okay.
She definitely does. But
her name's Michael, but it's still a chick we're talking about.
I mean, come on. And a very attractive chick, too, so she's got to show you how smart she is. But the thing is, this Klingon ship does nothing. And they all debate, like, what should we do about the Klingon ship? And they call the Admiral, and they're in the captain's ready room, and they project the Admiral as a hologram. Michelle Yeoh's like, should we do this? And this guy's like, we should do this. And they just talk. And then the grand finale of the episode is 10 more Klingon ships show up and also do nothing. So you really might like this show. It's
what?
A lot of
what
talk.
Is the Klingons' deals? Like, how are they? In the old ones, I got it because they looked like dudes, but they were just kind of assholes. Now they are straight up monsters. Like, how the hell did they build starships?
Yeah, I know.
What's their deal? What are they doing?
I know.
With them.
It's all.
Who was the guy that invented them and then they just killed him for being a nerd?
Kayless. They're like, fuck you, Kayless.
And that's it.
Eat this.
Their whole society evolved like this. It's not the way it works.
There is a Klingon Jesus and his name is Kayless. Oh, there is a Klingon Jesus who, like, gave Klingon stars or whatever the fuck.
Wait. Okay, so there's a man that invented the Klingons and then the Klingons killed him?
Probably. Or... That's what the Klingons do. They love fighting. They love it.
They're like a Frankenstein?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, there's two different kinds of Klingons. I mean, Dick is absolutely right. Like, there's the old Klingons where, you know, they were kind of like a proud warrior race. They were essentially like the Russians by way of the space works. But these new Klingons are just like weird, shiny monsters.
Yeah.
But all they also do is talk. Like, we open on a scene of them having like a Klingon board meeting.
Duh.
Where the Klingon, I'm saying you might like this show.
I don't like these Klingons already.
Where these
go in, what are you pussies? You all talk. What are you doing here? Come on, let's arm wrestle.
Yeah.
Let's get it going.
Well, the first thing they talk about is how they need to reunite all 24 houses.
Lame.
Because that's what I'm saying.
Lame.
They're not like fighting. No one's having a stabbing contest. Because eventually the Klingons become Vikings in the old Star Trek. Like, they don't go to Valhalla, they go to Stovokor. And they go there when they fight in a glorious battle. And there's like a lot of scenes of Klingons drinking, what is it called? Grog? The Klingons have like a drink that's essentially their version of mead.
Romulan ale.
Yeah, they're just knocking back Romulan ales left and right. But these Klingons are like, they're talking. Then a Klingon gets killed by Michael.
Okay.
And then they go like, oh, now that this Klingon died, now we're really going to get the Terror. We're really going to get the Federation.
Now we're really going to be assholes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look out.
They were criticizing Islam. I mean, Klingons. Now we're really going to suicide bomb their shit.
But then they still don't do anything. Even after, like, one of their guys gets punked by, like, a 90-pound supermodel / second officer of the USS Xinjiang.
Yeah, you know, a minor detail.
Yeah, exactly. Lieutenant Michael something, who's also Spock's sister. Like, she's Sarek raised her, which is fine. But then she does the most illogical shit in the episode. Like, the whole episode's all about, like, oh, yeah, you're so logical. Then at one point she goes loony, and she Vulcan nerve pinches the captain, knocks the captain out, stuffs the captain behind her desk.
Really?
Yes.
It's like an Indiana Jones left. Does she switch clothes with her, too?
That's what I'm saying. Well, her and Elsa are both.
This is not
attractive.
A board meeting. This is not Star Trek.
It's the only thing that happens in the whole episode. Also, they do that thing where they need to find a ticking clock.
Yeah.
So they're like, if she's out there for 15 minutes, she dies of radiation poisoning. But if she's out there for 14 minutes and 59 seconds,
she's fine.
Completely fine. And she can come back and looks all sexy and, like, talk and all this shit.
That's how uranium works,
That's
right?
That's exactly how it works. The cancer just goes, like, we fold. Like, ah, we made a run at it.
The cancer's sitting there like, okay, guys, we got 30 more seconds. Get ready to storm her internal organs.
Yeah, and they're like, ah, too rich for our blood. We're out of here. Little cancer ships leave, like, in inner space. Yeah, so she fucking Vulcan nerve pinches Michelle Yeoh, goes out on the bridge and is like, we gotta do what the Vulcans do when they meet Klingons. Fire at them immediately with all of our weapons.
Okay.
It's called the Vulcan Hello. And then the pussy...
Not a board meeting. No, yeah.
And then the pussy guy's like, where's the captain? And first officer's like, she's talking to the admiral. We gotta do it now. And the pussy guy's like,
there's a lot of rushing in this show. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Only in the last 2 minutes, I'm telling you, it's very slow. They spend so much time trying to identify an object that for some reason is unidentifiable because it's got like baffling fields and scramble fields up on it. And they're like, is it dangerous? It's doing something to make it so that we can't detect it, but we're still not sure it's dangerous. It definitely might be friendly. This thing that is hiding itself and cloaking itself and that blew a hole in a Federation satellite. What if it's a good guy thing? Let's send over one lady to check it out. It's weird. It's kind of boring.
You know, even watching the run-up to it, like, I had this sense of not liking the people. And I started thinking, like, the people in Star Trek would be the people that I would hate in real life. Like, these are like Habitat for Humanity people.
Yeah.
They're using, they're the ultimate privileged people in the known universe, and their job or whatever is a government subsidy to go to third world planets and specifically not give them technology.
Oh,
like,
my
they're shit bags. I would be on Earth going, how about we drop like a fusion reactor, like at least 22nd century power technology on some of these people, and all these smug fucks are like, no, that prime directive. Then they would go, remember what happened in Africa when we gave them guns? It ruined the whole continent. So that's why we can't give them replicators or our vacuum and our 0 point energy. No, we're keeping it.
When we gave it's just Africa tourism. A coke bottle, they went crazy, let alone a fucking fusion reactor.
Yeah.
But I will say this, you are allowed to, the prime directive is so gooey, because you are allowed to help if the planet's about to explode. So what that means is this, like,
why let it get to that point?
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying here. It's like, if you run into a planet whose people are slowly starving over the course of centuries, you're not allowed to help them.
Yeah.
But if the core is about to go nova, like, Kirk beams right down there and like puts a freeze bomb in the core, steals an ancient tapestry, and then it ends.
Then you can do it.
Yeah, then it's weird.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Because there is a boardroom scene in The Next Generation where they literally talk about this, where like, because you've seen it, because they used it in a Plinkett thing,
mm-hmm.
where like, where they say, you know, we're allowed to make an exception in the case of billions, but not of millions. And why is that? Why is one life worth less than billions of lives?
Obamacare survives in the future, I guess.
Obamacare died yesterday. You got nothing to worry about with Obamacare, buddy.
I just think there should be two different sections of the Federation.
Agreed.
Like, there should be the hipster kind.
Mm-hmm.
They are sworn not to help anyone. They just want to gawk at them.
Yep.
When the tight pants, like slack-jawed space hipsters.
Yeah.
And then there should be space Mormons.
Yep.
Who send out missionaries with the sole purpose of spreading the word of Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah.
And warp drive technology. Right? And they should compete.
Well,
and have propaganda wars against each other. That's the Star Trek I want to see.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like this
a lot. The libertarians, the starship people versus the socialists, Picard Star Trek people. Where the libertarian guys always have their stuff's a little cooler,
yeah,
a little bit zappier, but guys
die
more.
New drugs.
Yeah.
They've got the new. They're invented. They're 3D.
They're all on heroin
drugs.
Still.
God damn it.
Picard's got space jazz, but all the libertarians are just growing opium.
Oh my God. And Picard's got an adorable little fish. But the thing is, for some reason, it's always like, we're interstellar scholars and we're a force of peace. But by the way, we brought the strongest ship ever, and it splits into two ships,
mm-hmm.
and it's got phasers and you ever hear the phrase like full complement of proton torpedoes?
Yeah.
That means 10,000. That's a ridiculous amount of photon torpedoes.
It's a lot of peace and there's a lot of exploration to be done.
What the fuck? But then they take this like super duper warship out. And then they dig a hole in the side of a mountain and put up a force field that only they can see through. And they send Data down there and they're like, just look at some people. Just stare at these hot, sexy natives.
What happens if someone breaks their leg? Ah, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about it.
It's so weird. On one hand, it's like, why do they want all this knowledge?
It's because they're on drugs.
They're all on
mood-altering drugs in the future.
That would
After all the blue-collar jobs were eliminated, all of the world got addicted to opiates. So they don't feel anything anymore. They just travel around the universe high off their ass,
mm-hmm.
gawking at suffering.
Well, that would explain quite a bit of the original Star Trek.
Because mm-hmm.
one, it was a big hippy-dippy peace commune where, like, there was literally a Russian guy, the people that we were in a decades-long Cold War with. And that guy, was Chekhov operations? What did Chekhov do? Do you even remember? Because he wasn't flying the ship, because the joke is always that there's an Asian guy flying the ship, Sulu. they had a black lady, Japanese guy, they had a bunch, you know, Axis powers.
What
they
did
had
Chekhov
a Scottish
do?
Guy, huh?
What did Chekhov do?
I think it must have been operations, which
what
essentially
the hell is that?
It's a real catch-all term for a bunch of stupid bullshit.
Just like a business.
Yes,
see?
Exactly.
Now we're talking. Now we're back to real, relatable shit. What does that guy Chekhov do in your office? I don't fucking know. I just know that he yells a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does. He's a CMO.
He's got
what's the difference between a CMO and a COO? I don't know.
Yeah. It's that he's got dirt on someone and they can't get rid of him. It's like, that's why he's there. He's not hurting anything. He's not helping anything.
He's a diversity hire. What diversity? I don't know.
The entire bridge crew of the original Star Trek is like, it's like the goddamn Planeteers. Because a fucking hippie, Gene Roddenberry, who, by the way, like, they only put his wife in a lot of that stuff, which I really like. Like, that he's like, you're going to be the computer. You're the sexy nurse.
Oh, she was the computer?
Yeah, Mihiel Barrett is the voice of the computer, and she's also sexy nurse Chapel. I like that because it makes me think that Gene Roddenberry is kind of into cuckolding. He's like, I want to see my wife make out with Captain Kirk. Oh, yeah, I want to watch my wife make out with Captain Kirk in episode
He's in the
after
editing
episode.
Bay after hours, whacking off.
Exactly.
Making some dude, some old withered dude, rewind it for him.
Yes, exactly. Because he has to crank it back by hand each time. Okay, what was the last Star Trek you liked? I want to know. Like, how deep actually, different question. How deep in a trade did you get? Did you go all the way through Voyager and all the way through Enterprise? Like, how deep did you go?
I watched Voyager.
All of it?
No.
Okay, when did you tap out on Voyager?
When Janeway turned into a salamander or something like that after they broke Warp 10.
Yeah.
I think that was the last season. I tuned back in for that.
Yeah.
I think I tapped out when somebody left. Paris left the ship or something like that. Somebody died. I forget what happened.
I don't remember that.
Somebody left.
I remember, eventually, emergency medical hologram, best character, Robert Picardo. Eventually, he gets beamed because they find a way to make the hologram travel faster than light.
Mm-hmm.
So they beam it to the Federation, and then that emergency medical hologram meets another emergency medical hologram played by Andy Dick.
I remember that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a great
episode. Yeah, I remember that one.
There's also, it's so weird because I've hated Voyager for so long that I am now just like begrudgingly, because there's people that
Why do you
are
hate
so,
it?
I didn't, because I just found it to be really boring. I remember as a kid.
Me too.
I was never bored by Deep Space Nine, ever. Were there episodes that I wouldn't watch again, like the baseball episode in the last season? Like, yeah, look, I don't need to watch that twice, but it's fun, you know? But I remember Voyager, and then I remember as a kid watching Star Trek 10, Star Trek...
Enterprise.
No, I'm sorry, the movie. Not Insurrection, the one that came after Insurrection.
Nemesis.
I'm watching Nemesis, and I remember sitting in the theater and being bored, and I was like, this is new. Like, why am I bored? I should not be bored.
It's terrible.
I wasn't the like, oh, I terrible. Hate this. I was like, why don't I like Star Trek? I've been waiting for this movie for 2 years. Like, why don't I like this? It was weird to me as a kid. Did you watch any of Enterprise?
I did. Because I was a huge Quantum Leap fan.
Me too.
I was pissed at Enterprise that they immediately got off of Earth. I was like, what? Like, all your shit works. Everything works perfectly all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a busted up mess like I thought it would be.
Right.
Like it would be.
Right.
It was still pretty sleek and sexy, and they found the holodeck very quickly. And then I tapped out. I tapped out when they got those dumb, like, future aliens involved.
The Makos.
It's like, you don't need to deal with the future already.
Right.
Like, you guys kind of fucked that up. Like, it was cool when Voyager, it was cool when Star Trek TNG did some future stuff, but they blew their wad too quickly. There was plenty of exploring to do in the present.
The thing I love about TNG future stuff is that the future is always so fucked. It's always like Commander Riker with one eye and like a super gray beard and like double stumps being like, they're killing us! The Borg are killing us! There's nothing left of the Federation!
Yeah.
Wait, so I thought the Federation's job was to be like Space Peace Corps. Do they not just go around building very shitty houses or...
They're Space Peace Corps, but in giant, like, nuclear submarines. They're like Space Peace Corps with way
But they
many
don't help anybody.
And yeah, I thought they just shot
to help anybody.
People.
Huh? Sorry?
I thought they just shot laser beams.
It's weird.
At people.
It's weird. See, that's why I like Battlestar Galactica a lot, because it's just like, it's a big warship. It's a huge warship, and all these people are in the military, and they're all kind of fucked. I was thinking about this because I'm watching Star Trek Discovery today, and I'm comparing the first episode of Discovery to the first episode of Battlestar Galactica. In the first episode of Battlestar Galactica, or either in the movie or in the pilot, first episode of BSG, all of humanity is wiped out by sexy lady robots.
Whoa. Like, sign me up.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Like, a sexy lady robot goes on a space station, makes out with a guy, and then blows up the space station. Nice. Sexy lady robots are fucking the command codes out of guys' Baltar so they can knock down the shield so they can go kill. I'm not kidding. Like,
perfect takeover.
It's awesome. Hot, sexy Asian lady robot, hot, sexy blonde robot, mm-hmm. and then really ugly dudes. Just like really kind of crummy, skeevy, like porn star looking dudes, and I mean that in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
But real sexy lady robots. And they kill all humanity. There's only a couple people left. They're in a ship. They gotta fly around and shoot other ships. So much shit happens in the first act. And then, if you haven't watched the Battlestar Galactic movie, here's the Battlestar Galactic pilot, which came after the movie. Every 33 minutes, they are attacked, and they don't know why. And they're on no sleep, and they're all taking drugs to stay awake. Because every 33 minutes, a bunch of bad guy ships come and try to kill them. Meaning that in the five acts of the show, you're going to see like 10 attacks. It's so interesting. And in this first episode of Star Trek Discovery, it's just, they find an artifact. Well, I've seen that 100 times in Star Trek. And so this artifact is either going to make everyone live forever or kill them. Because there's no in between in Star Trek. Like, if you find an artifact, it's either God and he gives you a wish, or it's full of monsters. It's full of monsters. But even then, they
but
don't
where's like Star Trek is supposed to be the would you rather game in space.
I'm listening. I love
it's
this.
It's like, oh, would you rather... it's like Q comes on and he's yes. like, well, Picard, would you rather fuck your mom with your wife's head, or would you rather fuck your wife with your mom's brain? And then it's like, zoom in on Picard and goes, da-da, right? Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da. And then like Data
that's
comes in and he's
open.
Like, I'm confused. Like, why would someone... He's already been inside of his mother once. What's wrong with... Why wouldn't he want to do it again? And then Guinan's like, well, Data, you don't, you know, you got to understand human sexuality doesn't work like that. This is okay. a good episode.
Here's 20 tickets. I haven't been handing out tickets. That is exactly.
I mean, but that's what it's about. It's like you clone,
right.
do you, Q lets you like fix one thing in your life and it, you know, this is the finale, but right. it fucked up the whole rest of your life. He's still going to fix that fuck up. Like, would you rather?
Right.
Would you rather die with a shitty heart replacement and be Captain Picard, or would you rather live forever and be nothing? Like, whoa, whoa,
well,
whoa.
Not nothing. Lieutenant Junior Grade Picard was quite the space botanist, if I do remember.
Oh.
Remember when he, like, pulls over Commander Riker at 10:40 and he's like, hey, how can I get a promotion?
And he gets punked by Riker. Yeah. Oh, man, he just wanted to fucking pop. I don't know why he didn't just lean across the table and sock his ass.
Just knock the trombone right out of Riker's hand.
Motherfucker, you don't ever speak to me like that.
I know.
Number two.
Oh my god. I had the, because I played the Star Trek collectible card game, and I had both the good.
Of course you did.
Well, yeah, of course I did. Yes, of course I did. I had both Captain Picard and shitty, if Q had fixed his heart, Captain Picard.
Yeah.
Like shitty.
With his hair.
Yeah, exactly. It's so adorable.
So unnecessary. Like what, the honor of being the good Captain Picard made his hair fall out?
Yes.
All the stress of making those life and death decisions.
He was so stressed from living entirely different lives because he played a flute once, from counting the number of lights from 4 to 5. You'd love this game, Sriracha. You really got to play the Star Trek game. You'd love it.
Oh man, I'm so lost.
Did you watch Star Trek? Which was your Star Trek jam?
What do you mean?
Because you're younger than me, so Star Trek TNG, I would watch with my dad when I was like 10 years old. That was like our thing.
Yeah.
But when you were, you know, getting into sci-fi age, that was probably like old man shit by then. Like that probably had come and gone.
Oh, man, I've never, like, been into sci-fi because my parents wouldn't let me watch it.
That's right. Tell people
really?
Why.
Yeah, my mom, it was Harry Potter was the big shit when I was around that age, and I was not allowed to watch, like, any of that, any Star Wars, because my mom thinks it's the devil. She's very, very religious.
Wow!
No, so I missed out on a whole generation of this, and now, because when it got to the age where I figured out how to, like, pirate movies and stuff, I was like, I don't give a shit about Harry Potter or Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You kind of missed it.
So I'm the perfect
guest
for this
show. So what did you watch?
Like,
VeggieTales?
Oh my god, I know every... My Little Pony.
Did you really watch VeggieTales?
Yeah, huh? Oh my god,
like
so much of it.
Like, super religious?
Oh, I have this weird... Did you watch any of that?
No, God, no. I had a very religious friend, and I went over there, and he had, like, a whole, like, zillions of these VeggieTales. And his mom put on one episode. I'm like, what the fuck kind of cartoon is this shit?
No, I used
Who's
to have...
Who's getting killed here?
Well, because the VeggieTales would, like, free the Jews from slavery and shit. Like, the VeggieTales went deep in biblical stuff.
I knew a history lesson when I saw it. I don't care how animated it was. I was like, this is a fucking history...
No,
this
dude,
is a fucking history lesson.
They weren't all even history lessons either. Sometimes they were morality lessons, and those were fucking terrifying. Like, there was one... I used to have nightmares about this... VeggieTales, where there was a little asparagus kid, and every time he told a lie, there was a blueberry that got bigger and bigger, and then the blueberry started, like, killing people in the town.
Oh, my God.
And destroying everything, and he had to come out and tell the truth, or else, oopsie, hundreds of people are dead.
Hundreds of poor vegetables.
Yeah.
Sliced to piece, julienned by this blueberry. Wow. All right. What did you think of VeggieTales' tribute to 9/11? Did you think it was respectful?
I want to know why VeggieTales... First of all, I want to know why they picked the picture of the Larry the Cucumber and Bob the Tomato smiling.
Yep.
I've never seen anyone look so excited for 9/11.
Yep.
Said, what are you talking about? Is that a real thing?
The VeggieTales
Twitter
account.
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Yeah, please pull up. The VeggieTales Twitter account on 9/11 tweeted, like, never forget. And
with VeggieTales?
Yep.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because you got to think about it like this. If there's some 19-year-old social media manager, like, they don't know... They just think of 9/11 as like, oh, this historical thing. Like, kind of like you and I probably think of 3 Mile Island, where it's like, oh, that happened. Yeah, I remember that. It's like they don't get it.
Never forget 9/11 with a fucking smiling cucumber and a tomato.
They look so excited about 9/11.
They didn't have those, like, a somber headshot of those guys that they could have used?
I don't know that they do that. Only when somebody breaks one of the Ten Commandments do the VeggieTales get sad.
A very judgmental face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be more upset because it was Islam. But
yeah, exactly!
Yeah.
Come
Who
on!
Who are the Islams in the VeggieTales world?
I don't remember. No, there weren't any. They just pretend that no other religion except God and Christianity existed.
Yeah, that's funny.
Probably for the best.
Except sometimes Jews when it was convenient.
All right.
What are the Jews? What vegetable are the Jews?
I think there were asparagus.
Because Christians have such a hard-on for Jews.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, super Christians, they're always like, oh, the Israel, we must protect Israel. Oh, this, oh, that, oh, this is anti-Israel. And it's just like, but it's just so weird to me the way they kind of like, the way that super Christians like fetishize the Jewish people.
It is weird.
You know what I mean? Because like, I grew up in a very Christian town. There was one Jewish kid in my class. So I remember like hearing a lot of anti-Semitic shit. Like my best friend, Max Glantzman, we're hearing like, a lot of anti-Semitic shit by these like super religious classmates of mine about Max. Then at the same time, it's like, oh, but the homeland must be pretty. It's the weirdest dichotomy with that.
Yeah.
All right, well, anyway, Zwick, cut all that out.
Yeah.
I want to go on the VeggieTales thing. Zwick, are you hearing this? Cut that last part. I want to go on a high. Anyway, so that's me complaining about Star Trek Discovery. I'm going to watch episode 2. People say it gets better around episode 3 or episode 4, but I don't know. I was really looking forward to this. I was really looking forward to like seeing some cool action-packed Star Trek because I like the J.J. Abrams spot.
No, man, I don't want action in my Star Trek. I want it to be about schedules and getting time off and people having relationships at work like Riker and Troy and that causing a conflict when she was like taking the captain's test and he had to order her to go die or something like that.
No,
remember
he ordered
that one?
Her to kill Jordy LaForge.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that's what I want. Interpersonal office-related drama that has tricked me into watching it because they call it sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly. How hard must Riker's dick have been when he's, like, making his ex-girlfriend, like, go through this torture puzzle? Just like, yeah, I'm in such control right now. Yeah, absolutely. I hold your whole fate in my hands. What are you willing to do for that promotion, Nimzadi? All right,
and
well, anyway.
I want Klingons with the Power Girl tit window, too.
Oh,
those chicks were fucking hot. I understood why all the Klingons had such a hard-on for violence. I was like, oh, yeah, I'd be a fucking asshole, too, if all the chicks looked like that.
Yeah, those girls were great. Although they both get killed in Star Trek Generations for, like, no good reason. They just kill those. It was nice that they were in the movie. All right, so who's got the most tickets? Count up your tickets, guys.
Oh, I only have 6 tickets.
All right.
I got more than that. I got 20 at least.
All right. Our winner is Dick Masterson. Now, what we do on this game, God bless you all. God bless you both. So what we do on this game is you win prizes, but I don't even know what the prizes are because I hand out blind boxes. So
Oh.
Here's our second place prize goes to Sriracha. It is a cartoon blind box. It's a Cartoon Network. So tell people who you might win. Read some of that stuff off.
Oh, there's a bunch of those kids from that cartoon where it ends up they're all dead. Spoiler.
Over the hedge, over the rainbow.
Over the hedge or something.
Yeah, through, it was called like Through the Rainbow Hedge or something.
Through the glass hedge, I don't remember.
Yeah, let's see, you might win Jake the dog, you might win Johnny Bravo, you might win Garnet, you might win Clarence. Oh, the chase figure is Greg Universe. There's voiced by Tom Schroeder, my favorite comedian.
Yeah, Steven Universe's fat dad.
Yeah, Steven Universe's big fat dad.
I hope I get that one. I want to put it on my desk at work.
If you get that one, I will buy it off you. I love Greg Universe so much.
Serious's hands are twiddling around.
Oh my, oh my. And while you're opening that, why don't you plug your stuff?
Nah.
Okay.
You can find me right here sometimes.
All right. If you want to hear Sriracha, listen to Science Fiction.
Go fuck yourself.
All right. I've never.
I want to hear more about VeggieTales, actually. I would listen to a podcast about that.
I'll start a podcast about VeggieTales. It'll be my first guest.
Just call it VeggieTales Tales, and every week you watch a new VeggieTales.
Oh, that's horrifying. So here, you won this too.
Ed.
You got Ed. Or Eddie, I can't tell.
This is the asshole one.
Yeah, that's the one that was always running the scams to get quarters.
All right. And first place, Dick Masterson, you got a Super Mario box. It could be a star, could be a Goomba, could be a red shell, could be Bullet Bill.
Oh, dope.
Who knows what it is? And while you're doing it, why don't
you
pull your
stuff?
Cool,
it's like an ornament. I host The Dick Show. Go to thedickshow.com. Do not go to Dick Show, because it's what it is.
Yep. Dickshow.com.
Patreon.com/thedickshow.
You can go to both of them. If it's just, you know, one of them you won't. One of them you'll find Dick Masterson, and one of them you won't.
Use an invisible browser tab to go to the latter.
Open up your VPN before you search for it.
Exactly. Hop on Tor. Get on the darkest part of the dark web.
Ooh, it's a red shell.
Oh, that's actually pretty
keychain.
Cool.
You know what? My nephew would love this. He plays Mario. He loves Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's the best.
He loves Mario Kart, but he doesn't get... I don't think he gets that it's a race. So the motherfucker just explores. Like, he goes driving into the ocean, and Lakitu picks him up, and he thinks it's the funniest thing. Just drives in circles.
He's perfect for Starfleet. He's a little fucking explorer with no sense of goals or direction. I love it. All right, that's been Science Friction. I'm your host, Asterios Kovanos. You can support the show at patreon.com/Asterios. You can buy my new Santa Cup t-shirt at Gumroad, GUMROAD.com/Asterios. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks, man.
We'll see you next time.